Turn off the light up front because kind of. Okay, is it better? Okay. King Beyond the Stars. Well, that was a good introduction about the space lunar module landing, and I was privileged to have the designer of the lunar module as my scientific advisor when I was running the Defense Space Program in Canada. Okay, Reaching Beyond the Stars. Okay, now I want to shock you with a bit of my background. I'm sure you'll be a bit shocked, you know. You know what? I was jailed when I was 17 years old. Did I shock you? No? Did I shock you? Well, basically, I was born in China, and the day I was born, my father went to the Philippines. And in 1949, when I was 3 years old, so you know how old I am, and my mother took six of us to Indonesia. So in Indonesia, I was stateless. And being stateless, I could not go to any university for my post-secondary training. So my parents know that I left to study. At that time in Indonesia, there are travel agencies specializing in making forced passport and forced birth certificate. Do you have any such travel agent here? So they wanted a huge sum of money. My parents don't have much money, but in order for me to be able to leave Indonesia to go overseas for my post-secondary education, my parents they were willing to pay a large sum. The agency said, no problem, guarantee no problem. But after I paid the large sum, I was entertained to stay in jail for two free nights. And then at that time, I realized I may have to face the consequence of 25 years in jail. Even for someone at 17, the prospect of staying in jail for 25 years has what? Completely crumbled around me. At that time, I was not a Christian. My parents were Christian. At that time, I was very much indoctrinated in a communist school, the pro-communist school, pro-mainland China school. There is no God. There's no God anywhere, but there was a great savior, Mao Zedong. You know, that was what we learned. So I could not accept the possibility of God, but in desperation, I prayed to the God of my parents. And then I was on bail for 2 years, which means I have to report to the police station every day. After 2 years, I jokingly said that I got this graduation certificate. What is that? Too bad it doesn't come out too well. Traveling to Canada is valid for a single journey only. You know what? That is the only document I have being kicked out from Indonesia. Single journey. For those of you that have been, a bit older, you may know that in 1965, I think New Zealand, Australia, and Canada, the immigration policy is very much non-white. Any colored people normally are not welcome at that time in 1965. And imagine someone being kicked out from Indonesia, wanting to go to Canada. What was my chance? Right? You know what? When I left Indonesia, I was not afraid. Because what? Because at that time, my sister has graduated from medical school in Taiwan, and she migrated to Canada. And my sister wrote to my parents and said that she would be willing to pay for my way. I have such a generous sister, but in order to go to Canada, what do I need? I need a passport. And I do not have a passport. So I went to Canadian embassy in Jakarta in Indonesia and telling them that I don't have a passport, I am stateless, but my sister is in Canada willing to support me. And amazingly enough, Canadian embassy staff was so kind that they told me, young man, come back in 2 weeks. We'll think about what we can do to help you. So, and then they told me how to get a passport of Republic of China, because at that time, Canada only recognized the Republic of China, which is Taiwan. At that time, Canada did not recognize People's Republic of China. But Indonesia at that time only recognized People's Republic of China and does not recognize Republic of China. So that means I cannot get a passport in Indonesia. But amazingly, my father, because he was in the Philippines before, he was able to get me a passport, Taiwan passport, from the Philippines. But the passport could not be sent to Indonesia because at that time, the relationship between Taiwan and Indonesia was so bad. Anyone possessing Taiwan passport could be jailed as the spy of Chiang Kai-shek. Amazingly, Canadian embassy helped me to tell me that I should send my passport from Hong Kong, from Philippines to Hong Kong, and so that I can fly from Indonesia to Hong Kong and ask my relative to bring my passport to the airport so that the next day I can go to Canadian Embassy in Hong Kong to get my visa to Canada. Wow, isn't that amazing? So I left Indonesia with that. I wasn't afraid. Indonesia want to kick me out. Okay, bye-bye. I think Canada should be quite a bit better than Indonesia. So I went to Hong Kong. By the time I arrived in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong immigration office said, where is your passport? I said, outside there. I saw my relative, and I said, my passport. You know what? They sent my passport to Indonesia. I arrived in Hong Kong in mid-November, and September 30th, 1965, there was a coup in Indonesia. Sukarno government was overthrown by General Suharto. General Suharto was friendly to Taiwan. So my relative was too smart thinking that now there's a new government friendly to Taiwan, so send my passport to Indonesia. So without a passport, the British government put a stamp, 48 hours get out. At that time, I could not go back to Indonesia. I could not stay in Hong Kong. I cannot go to the Philippines, cannot go to China, cannot go to Taiwan. What do I do? The only way is to continue my journey. Imagine without a passport trying to continue from Hong Kong to Canada through Tokyo. Fortunately, in 1965, I only have a ticket and this certificate that I got kicked out. I was able to fly to Tokyo. They did not check my passport. Imagine trying to get into any plane right now without a passport. So because upon my arrival in Tokyo, because there was no flight going to Canada, so I have to stop over in Japan. So the Japanese immigration officer asked me, where's your passport? I said, I don't have one. And they thought that I don't understand English. So they took me to a passport display room. Do you have any one of this? I said, I have none of any of them. So the Japan Airlines pilot was called in. Why did you bring an alien without a passport into Japan? Because there was no flight going to Canada, I had to stay over that evening at one of the hotels in Tokyo Airport. So the Japanese government told me that I should not leave the hotel and tomorrow morning they will have somebody escort me all the way to the plane flying to Canada. So at 19, I was a VIP being escorted. Now, you know, the day that I was at the airport hotel, How did I feel? Evening, I could not sleep. If Canada would not accept me, where would I go? Back to Indonesia? I could not go to Taiwan, Philippines, China. Where could I go? So the whole evening I was praying. Praying to the God of my parents. In fact, I forgot to mention when I was in jail, you know, at that time, when I was facing the possibility of 25 years in jail, I was praying very earnestly to the God of my parents. Not my God, but the God of my parents. Likewise, in the hotel in Tokyo Airport, I was praying earnestly the whole evening, asking the God of my parents to have mercy on me. So by the time I arrived in Vancouver, see how nervous I was. So going through the airport immigration checkpoint, there are normally quite a few counters, right? So I pray again to the God of my parents and asking God of my parents to have mercy on me. So I choose one of the line and went forward. The Canadian embassy office, Canadian immigration officer, when he saw me, he asked me, the first question was not, where is your passport? The first question was, where did you come from? I said, Indonesia. And right away he said, could you tell me what happened with the coup in Indonesia, what happened with the coup d'etat, the change of government in Indonesia? So I used my broken English to explain what happened with the coup. And then he asked, where is your passport? Imagine 1965, someone get kicked out from Indonesia. The only document I have with me is this. Is there any difficulty, any problem? Is that a big problem, small problem? Small problem. Big problem, right? You know, the Canadian immigration officer, as soon as he saw this piece of paper, you know what he said? No problem. What? Does it mean that anyone being kicked out from Indonesia, come on, just come to Canada, we welcome you. No, obviously not in 1965. You know what he said? He said, you know what? Even though I have never met you, but when you were in Jakarta, when you came to Canadian Embassy in Jakarta, asking Canadian Embassy to help you to get to Canada without a passport, do you know? The one that came out with the idea was me. What? He was the one in the embassy that coming up with the ideas of, you know, get a passport and then send to Hong Kong, etc., etc., etc. Now I ask you, the God of my parents, did he listen to my prayer? Amazing. The God of my parents is just, you know, a God in your mind, psychological type of crutch. Would a God that give me psychological crutch help me to send the Canadian immigration officer from Jakarta to Vancouver and waiting for me there? At that specific moment, I met him. Would that have happened? So it was quite clear that God was having mercy on me. But you know what? I did not become a Christian because of that. You can see how successful my teachers were in indoctrinating us. There is no God. There is no God. So even at that moment, when it was quite clear that God had, you know, answered my cry, you know what? I did not become a Christian. It was only until my second year university in 1967, January, to one of the evangelistic meetings. Let us read together. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Suddenly, I was crying all through the evangelistic meeting. Suddenly, I realized how stubborn I was. I did not need to face 25 years of jail sentence. I only stayed in jail for 2 nights, and I was on bail for 2 years. I did not need passport of any country. I was able to enter into Canada. So from that moment onward, I decided I would single-heartedly and trust the God of my parents, no longer the God of my parents, but my own God. So let us read this together. Let's read together. Yet I am. In my fourth year university, one day one missionary came to speak to us, and he was speaking out of this Bible verse. And he said, "Do you know the God that you believe is the God of heavens and earth, the God that created the heavens and earth and is a living God? To commit your life, commit your study, commit your future career, your future family, and commit everything into His hand. By grace, when I was in my fourth year, I decided that I not only would believe in God, I would be willing to learn to trust Him with everything and believe in Him." And back before that, before I was baptized, I was given this Bible verse. Let us read together. "Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained." So after I was baptized, I want to try to honor God. And so I was able to finish my bachelor, master, and PhD in engineering, in automatic control. So as when I was near completion of my PhD, I started looking for a job. And at that time, I saw the Canadian Defense Department, they were looking for new recruit. You know, the job was for missile guidance and control. Imagine in 1974, how was China being looked at from the outside in 1974. China, did it have a good reputation outside China? It was bad at that time, wasn't it, in 1974. Now imagine someone born in China, I was made in China, grew up in Indonesia, and without a passport entering into Canada and wanting to apply to work in the area of missile guidance and control. How was my chance? What? I went and got the application form. The application form, there was a simple question. I'm pretty sure if you look for some important job, even in New Zealand, they will ask that simple question. Have you violated any laws? Violated any laws? Did I go to the jail just for vacation? At the time, I have said that I want to honor my God. You know what I did? I said no. As I pray and ask God for guidance, for God's mercy, the Holy Spirit convicted me. I lied. Did I? Did I lie? And then I wrote a letter to the Defense Department acknowledging that I have violated the law in Indonesia. My father, who loved me so much, when he heard that I wrote that letter, he said to me, "Son, you finished your PhD. How can you be so stupid?" I said that, God convicted me. If he's willing, God will open the door. Otherwise, I have to suffer. I have to live with the consequence of what I did before. But amazingly, God opened the door and I went into the Defense Department. My first job was Missile Guidance Control. Unfortunately, the lighting is not very good. And that was me. I, younger or older than some of the other NATO delegates, as I would say the youngest. And this is what happened in Berlin after the unification of Germany, the very first NATO meeting in Berlin, I was there. And then this took place at the backyard of Canadian Foreign Affairs Ministry, and I was there sitting up front. The fact that I was able to sit up front means what? I was important, was I? I was able to sit up front because I was representing Canadian government in inviting this delegation to meet at the Foreign Affairs Ministry in Canada. And I was the chairman of the meeting. I was the head of Canadian delegation. This is why I could sit up front. And this gentleman here, he was the head of U.S. delegation, and he was the vice president of Boeing Aircraft Company. And this was the command headquarters of North American Aerospace Defense, which means that cover both Canada and U.S. For someone colored with a white, with a black hair, I was able to go in and out with the status of a VIP. Even though I was a civilian scientist, but my military equivalent rank was one star general. And this was some of the awards I got. What? I really feel that God turned a trash into a treasure. When I was 17, I was like a trash in a crowded and dirty jail in Indonesia. Why did I say that I was a trash? In Indonesia at that time, my classmate that scored number one, number two in the class did not even have the opportunity to study in any universities. And yet I was able to complete my PhD. And I really feel that over the last 45 years, God turned a trash into a treasure. Not because I have a good IQ or whatever. If I have any strength, my biggest strength is I dare to trust my God. You know what? The first time the Canadian Department of Defense gave me the job offer, you know what? I turned it down and to work for a telephone company. Because I was waiting and waiting for God to guide me forward. And for 6 months, there was nothing from Defense Department. And then I went for a job interview with a telephone company, and right away they gave me a job offer. And I got the job offer. I asked the telephone company to give me 2 months, to wait for 2 months before I made up my mind to take or to reject their offer. Was I crazy? When you get a job offer, you say, "Please wait for me for 2 months and I'll make a decision." And they waited for me for 2 months. Do you know why I asked for 2 months? Because I was praying and hoping that God will open the door for me within that additional 2 months. Within that 2 months, God did not open the door. So I thought that God had not opened the door. So I accepted the job offer from a telephone company. And my wife accepted a job offer in a medical clinic. And then the phone rang. Dr. Liang, congratulations, we have a job offer for you. To keep the story short, you know what? I turned down the job offer from defense. Because I was daring to believe that God's timing is the most perfect. Here, God's saying, don't take that job. Get down. And right now, as I look back, of course, I do not know why God waited until I decided to join the telephone company to give me the offer. Of course, I don't know why. Only after I go to heaven, then I can ask God, why did you? Why? But at least from a very simple mind, I could think of one possibility. For Canadian government to trust someone born in China, trust me. Later on, when I was in charge of Canadian defense space program, including satellite communication, including anti-ballistic missile defense, including nuclear activities, do they have to have enough trust in me? You know what? I think one good way that God had helped me to show what type of individual I was at that time was the fact that I turned down defense job offer, and the only reason is because I have already committed in accepting the job offer from telephone company. And you know what? Later on, I became the head of defense space program. One time, I was a bit naughty. I went to look for my old file. I saw the letter of that I turned down the defense job offer, and there was a three-letter, W-O-W. Wow. This guy, because he promised telephone company, he would not break his promise, and he would turn our job down. I do not have believed that God in such a wonderful way help me along. I have a lot of this type of stories in terms of how I was daring enough to trust God and believe that God's guidance was the best. Let us move on. Now, what is the type of dream you have? I was targeting my talk to a bit younger generation, so please bear with me if I'm talking a little bit below your level. What is the dream of your life? You know, quite often we like to have success, and we like to see what we can do to be a superstars. But today we want to see how we can reach beyond the stars, and we want to learn from King David, the superstars. Now, a lot of young people, a lot of people from China, their concept of success is tons of gold, lots of money. So I was trying to make it simple and easy, and trying to see whether you want to have the golden touch of turning anything into gold. And I don't know whether you have heard the story of King Midas. Have you? Now, do you want to be like him, being able to turn anything you touch into gold? And he was dreaming to have that type of magic when he was already the king. So one day he was helping a small little devil, and the little devil was being very graceful in wanting to thank him back. So this little devil asked King Midas, is there anything I can do for you? Anything you want, I can give it to you. So he was so delighted, he said, could you please give me the touch? Whatever I touch can turn into gold. And then the little devil said, "Are you sure you really want that?" He said, "Of course, I want to turn anything that I touch into gold." And then so the little devil said, "Think carefully. Once you got that, you will not be able to turn it back. Why would I turn back, you know, that magic? You know, if I can turn, I can touch anything and turn it to gold, why would I give up? Why would I be sorry about that?" He said, "Okay, if you really want, I'll give it to you." So he gave, the little devil gave him the magic touch. So whatever he touched turned into gold. Wow, amazing. So he can touch the grape, and the grape turned into gold. And he touched anything, turned into gold. So his daughter was so excited. "Daddy, Daddy, I heard that you have that magic touch. You can turn anything into gold." So the daughter ran after the father, and the father embraced the daughter. And the daughter became what? Golden daughter. So was he sorry? Was he sorry? You know, of course, this is a story that I was just trying to help the younger kids. Now, let us look at the superstars. You know, the Bible has a lot of superstars. You know, these are the billionaires of the time. You know, Abraham, Moses, King David, Solomon, etc., etc. They were the most successful people at their time. And the Bible tells us that Abraham had become very wealthy, and he had so much. And Solomon has so much gold. He received yearly 25 tons of gold. Is that success? And then, you know what? Let us read this together. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." We all want to be successful. We all want to be a superstar. You know what? There is one very simple principle that God has laid in front of us. If you want to be a blessing, you have to be willing to become a channel of blessing. So this is the principle that we need to keep in mind if you want God to bless you. Be the channel of blessing to others. Reaching beyond the stars. The Bible has told us that, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things." Means that we can even do greater things. And the Bible also tells us, "Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults." You know what? Don't be afraid to have dream. A big dream, not for yourself, but big dream for God. Jesus had promised us to give us more abundant life. Let us look at, try to learn it from King David, the superstars. You know, Bill Gates laid out very simple principle in terms of being a superstar. Number one, passion. Number two, being intelligent. Number three, integrity. Number four, having a good team. And number five, leadership. Now, I rather learn it from King David. David, even though he was a shepherd boy, but even today, the nation of Israel still uphold the Star of David in their national flag. And that means David is their transcendental superstars. So let us learn from King David, the real superstar. You know what? We all know about his background. He really grew up in a family that is really not healthy. You know what? He was very much looked down upon by his own father. Do you agree? Do you agree that his father looked down upon him? When his father knew that Samuel the prophet wanted to come and anoint one of the children. He gathered all David's brothers together, and where was David? Was left in the wilderness looking after the animals. And what does it mean? It means the father did not expect David to ever be chosen as the anointed king. Isn't that correct? So that means his father looked down upon him. And when the father looked down upon him, it is quite clear that the brothers would also look down upon him. Today's psychological analysis for someone growing up in that type of situation, being looked down upon by the father, being looked down upon by all the family members, and he had no education and he had no mentor, what would be the future of David as he grew up? Through today's psychological analysis will show that he will have no self-respect because he had no opportunity to build up his own self-respect. He will have terrible, miserable life. Right? But that was not what happened with David. And then also he had terrible human weakness. He committed adultery. You know what? God saw David, even though the fathers did not believe that he had anything good to offer. And the Bible also tell us a lot about David. We'll go through that later on. Now, I believe that we can at least learn four different things from the life of David. Number one, we dare to honor God. Number two, we should dare to have faith in God. Number three, we should dare to shine for God. Number four, we have to be daring to be fully passionate. Help us and learn to have this four things if we want to reach beyond the stars. Number one, dare to honor God. When David was just being asked by the father to bring some bread to the front line to his brothers, and Goliath was challenging the armies of Israel, and David dare to say, it will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel. Who is this circumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And then he said, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. And then he said, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. David, as a shepherd boy, he was willing to take up the challenge of facing Goliath. And the main purpose was because he was concerned that Philistine was defying their God, the God of Israel. And then he was wanting to let the whole world know that there is a God in Israel. If you have the heart of David, you want the whole world to know that there is a God in your family. There is a God in your career. There is a God in your job. There is your God in your study. Would God bless you and help you? Bless you and help you. I thank God that when I was working in the Department of Defense, I was very fearful because I treasured the opportunity that God had given me in putting me in Defense Department. So as I was working in the Defense Department, I was trembling, I was in fear, because I want God's glory being manifested. I work in the department. And as a Chinese in a mostly white environment, oh, it is quite obvious that I was like a sore thumb, right? By God's grace, I was being fearful. I always pray and say, God, help me so that I can glorify you in each and everything that I do. So every morning I would pray and say, God, I commit today's meeting or whatever fully into your hand. Help me to speak the right word. Help me to think about the right thing. Help me to be able to glorify you as I work in the Department of Defense. Help each and every one of us to have a big heart, not for your own success, but a big heart and say, God, I would hope that others will see my God in my job, in my career, in my family. Would God bless you with that? The Bible has clearly tell us, let us read together. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I love to use the example of 0-1 against 1-0. 0-0, 1 against 1-0-0. What is the difference between the two? The difference. The difference is what? The difference is where is one. You can be a great man with huge, with amazing IQ, but you are still one. But I'd rather be a zero. I was a trash, but by God's grace, I was willing and I was earnest in trusting God and asking God to lead me on. God turned a trash into something that he can glorify. And have you heard about Linsanity? And can you see how tall he is compared to Yao Ming? Is he like an NBA superstar physically? What makes the difference between Yao Ming and him? Yao Ming has the physical height. And what has Jeremy Lin got? A shorty, right? Pretty short for an NBA star. But God was able to make him rather tall. And he said, my audience is God. Lin, even though he was such a shorty, he was beyond his limitation. And he was selected by Time Magazine to be the number one most influential people in the world. Africa. He is really the 21st century David overcoming Goliath. And then we need to dare to shine for God. We'll continue. We'll pass on. I guess time is running short. We need to have faith. And I learned to have faith even when I was studying. God put me in a summer job that the bears were roaming around. So I learned a little bit to trust God on a daily basis, because I have no way of protecting myself when the bears were around me. And then, you know what? We need to be a daredevil. And you know what? For us Chinese, quite often, we are rather timid. You know what? My daughter, I did not know that I had such a bad influence. My daughter completed the law degree and she joined the military. You know, a Chinese girl joining military out of her mind. And you know what? My daughter, as a military lawyer, volunteered to go to Afghanistan. Chinese parents, how would a Chinese mother feel when the daughter feels that she is guided by God in volunteering to go to Afghanistan as a Canadian military lawyer? But that God gave us the challenge, and she went to Afghanistan, and she has safely returned from Afghanistan. And this is my daughter. And then, she went through the training, and then she was having picture with the Minister of Defense, and she had this taken in Ottawa as well as in Afghanistan when the minister visited Canadian troops in Afghanistan. Now we need to dare to shine for God. That is integrity. You know, integrity means fearing God. Quite often we do not have the integrity. Thank God that I was being very stubborn. I was willing to sacrifice the opportunity of working with defense in going to work for a telephone company. Amazingly, after 10 months, I reapplied to Defense Department. They gave me the second time the job offer. And this is how I got in the second time. We need to learn to have the integrity. And the last one is we dare to be fully passionate. Passionate is not just a short-term emotion. Passionate means I am fully committed. Whether I'm paid or not, I want to do it. I am very much committed to it. You know what? I was wondering about David, his slingshot. He was able to use the slingshot to kill the Goliath. Did he do it just by coincidence? And the fact that he was being so successful means one simple thing. He was practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing. So he perfected the slingshot skill. And also, the Bible amazingly tells us that he played harp. Did he need to play harp to entertain the animals? And what lesson can we get? The lesson is that he was passionate in his job. May God help us to be passionate in our job. May God help us to have the integrity. May God help us to have faith in him. May God help us to honor him. At the end, let us read this once more. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. May God help us. Learn to honor him. Thank you, God. We pray that you will help us to honor you and help us to have the courage and faith in you and to be passionate in the things that you commit to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.